Father, it is my prayer at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. We like hearing stories, don't we? It's good to hear stories. We especially like good stories. And in looking at some of the stories that surround us in Scripture, especially the stories about Jesus, we've got a lot of really good stories that we like to hear. We're just coming off the Christmas season, and we really like to hear the story about the baby in the manger. That's a good story. We like hearing the stories about the miracles that Jesus did, you know, the healing people and you know, the feeding of the 5,000. And those are just great stories, and we love hearing those stories. And we love hearing stories of forgiveness, like the story when Jesus met the woman at the well and he was able to forgive her. And we love those stories, but there's one story I'm going to tell you today that we might not like as much as some of the others. This is in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verses 15 through 18. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, that's not where I'm supposed to be. There it is, verse 15. I was looking at the wrong verse. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered into the temple and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it into a den of robbers?" Jesus got mad. Now, we oftentimes look at this particular story. You know, a lot of preachers preach on this and say, "Oh, you see, here's where Jesus got angry. It's okay for us to get angry because anger is not a sin." That's true. Being angry is not a sin. How you vent your anger may turn into a sin. But if you're angry for a reason, that's okay. And here, Jesus is angry for a reason. You see, there were people in the temple, and they were selling animals to be sacrificed. That's kind of a convenience. Now, if you're on your way to the temple, and you need to make a sacrifice, isn't it easier to have the animals right there to purchase for your sacrifice? It's a convenience. Today, we have convenience stores where we go in and we can get things conveniently. And you know what? When you buy a pack of gum at the convenience store, it's a little more expensive than it's going to be at the grocery store. You know, you're paying a convenience tax there. Just like when they went to the temple to buy the dove that they were going to have for their sacrifice, it was probably a little more expensive if you bought it right there than if you bought it down the street. But that's not the place for that. And they also said they had tables of money changers. And I thought it was kind of interesting because I always figured, oh, well, you know, you need the money changers there because, you know, maybe you don't have the right amount of change for the offering. They had a rule back then that the Pharisees had established that said that if you purchased your sacrifice, and it was okay to purchase your sacrifice, you know, nobody's faulting anybody for that. If you purchased your sacrifice with Roman money, it was a sin. It was a sin to purchase your sacrifice with Roman money. So you had to take your Roman money and turn it into Israel money in order to buy your sacrifice. And isn't it nice and convenient that we do that in the temple right next to where you buy the thing? Oh, and by the way, the guy who's giving you the money is keeping some for himself. It's all part of the convenience. And Jesus wasn't angry about the convenience. He was angry because what was going on there was sacrilege. Sacrilege is defined as a desecration, profanation, misuse, or theft of something regarded as sacred. And sacrilege is a sin. You see, what was going on in there was somebody had set up a store in the church. Somebody set up a store in the church. It was being misused. The temple was being misused. You see, people came to the temple in Jerusalem from all around the world. And that's where the store was kept. There was a part of the temple that was set aside for the Gentiles, for people of non-Israeli origin who were Jews. And there were people like that. There were people even then who were saying, "Oh, well, this is the true faith. I'm going to follow it, even though that's not the country I'm from. Even though my ancestors didn't come from there, I recognize that their faith is true. I'm going to follow their religious practices, which means I have to go to Jerusalem and I have to go to the temple. But there was this special court. It was called the Court of the Gentiles. And I can go here, and this is as far as I can go to worship. If I was actually from Israel, I could go to the next court and be a little closer to the Holy of Holies and worship there. But I'm out here. Oh, and here are some stores. Maybe I traveled a long way and it's convenient. It's convenient. But, well, for one thing, sacrifice isn't supposed to be convenient. And for another thing, they weren't using the temple for what it should have been used for. And that's the sacrilege. That's the sin. We see sacrilege going on today, don't we? And I'm not just talking about in churches. Churches are like the big place that we can really see that. I mean, we hear stories on the news all the time about churches being broken into and people stealing things from churches. It's sacrilege. Something that has been set apart as sacred is being misused or robbed. Personally, I'm really, one of the things that really gets me is there are now churches across this country where there's a Starbucks in the church. There's a McDonald's in the church to make it a little more convenient. Now, if we're having church and we're going to fellowship, I don't want to have to pay $8 for my cup of coffee. I think the church can provide a cup of coffee. And if we're having a fellowship luncheon, I don't want a Big Mac. Because I love fellowship luncheons. We're having one later today at the other church. And that's why it's good to sit through the annual meeting, is because there's a fellowship lunch after. But if you remember, if you've been to fellowship luncheons, there's good food there because church folk know how to cook. But for convenience sake, now there's a McDonald's? Now there's a Starbucks? I'm going to go as far as to say, I'm thinking that's sacrilege. You even have people joking about advertising in the church. Again, I'm going to go as far as to call that sacrilege. We're even living in an age today where there are churches that are closing down. It's a sad truth. There are people, enough people turned away from faith that churches are closing down all over the place. And when we bought our little church down in Mooncrest, the folks who had worshiped there were very concerned that it was still going to be a worship center. And that's a very valid concern. I mean, one of the first people that had put a bid on it, they wanted to turn the church property into a parking lot for the church across the street. Tear the building down, make it a parking lot. There's a cemetery next door that the owners of the cemetery wanted to buy the church property, knock the building down, and just expand the cemetery out into it. Well, that's one thing, but we see a lot of places, a lot of churches who are being turned into microbreweries and restaurants. There was a little church down in Oakland that I remember, this happened years and years ago. I don't remember what denomination it had been, but they had closed down. They weren't having services anymore. The church sold the property, and it became a restaurant. And where the altar had been were now brewing vats. They were brewing beer where the altar had once been. And that's a shame. It's a shame that that kind of thing happens, but it happens. Is it a good thing? No, it's not a good thing. But there are some people who will look at it and say, you know what? It's just a building. It's brick and mortar. The church is the people, isn't it? I mean, you get down to the truth about it. The church is the people. But this place had been set aside. It was something sacred. There was a church we were worshiping in years and years ago, a church that had closed down. Beautiful church. Beautiful church. Old Episcopal church. Very Gothic architecture. Really beautiful. When you think of a church, this is the kind of building you think about. It's this. It's, you know, the dark stone and stained glass windows up and down both sides, and a huge stained glass window in the back and in the front. And I remember having a conversation with Ruby. She was 2 years old, and she was running around. Now, there are some people who are going to say that it's a sacrilege to run around it. Little kids running around in church. No, it's not. That's not being misused. It's kids being kids. She wasn't hurting anything. She was just running around. And I sat her down, and we were having a little conversation on the fact that the church is God's house. And we need to be respectful in God's house. And she looked at me, and she said, Daddy, this isn't God's house. I said, what do you mean? She says, well, Jesus lives here. Jesus lives here. Well, that put me in my place, because she was absolutely right. Absolutely right. You see, we as believers believe that our bodies are the temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 and 19, Paul tells us to flee from sexual immorality and other sins a man commits. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. You see, we ourselves are a temple, and we ourselves are called to be holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16 says, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy, because I am holy.'" You see, we are holy as followers of Christ. We are set apart. We are set aside for something special. And when we desecrate ourselves, when we profane ourselves, when we misuse ourselves, we're committing a sacrilege. Just as an abuse to the church, we ourselves are committing sacrilege. "I will speak now about the beam in my eye. I am fat because I'm a glutton and because I'm lazy. I overeat and I'm lazy." Gluttony and sloth are the church words we use. My temple of the Holy Spirit has an addition that shouldn't be there, and I need to do something about it. You see, when we mistreat ourselves, there are consequences. I am very fortunate and very blessed that my health is still good. I know God has had his hand on me because I do not have problems with blood pressure or blood sugar or cholesterol, and by all rights, I should have all of these problems. I need to take better care of myself. If you do not need to take better care of yourself, we'll bless you for it. But there are people in the world who, through misusing their bodies and misusing themselves, have committed sacrilege, because we are holy. We are set aside for something special. The way I've taken care of myself could possibly shorten my life. The ways a lot of people mistreat themselves, mistreat their bodies, could very well shorten their lives. God has work for us to do. It's going to take long enough as it is. We need to take care of ourselves because we are holy vessels, because we are God's temples. If Jesus were to come into your life, would he be overturning tables? Would he have that anger that he is allowed to have? Because that sacrilege that happened in the temple, maybe it's happening in your life as well. It's happening in mine. Fortunately, God forgives. God gives us second chances all the time. You know, this is not to condone my behavior, but I know he forgives me and he gives me a second chance. Just as he forgives us all. Just as he gives us all second chances. When Jesus was overturning the temples, he was quoting a verse from Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7. "These I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." Just as the temple was a house of prayer, just as this little chapel is a house of prayer, so are we, as temples of the Holy Spirit, houses of prayer. If you want to improve, if you've taken care of yourself physically, that's great. I'm trying to do that myself. I'm committing to that. You heard me. I'm hoping my wife and daughter will keep me accountable. We can also improve our temple through prayer. Not just praying for the temple, but being that house of prayer. Not only for ourselves, but for the world. A house of prayer for all nations. Pray not just for yourself, but for others. For the people in your lives. For the people on the news. For the people in Paris with what's going on there now. If you can't think of anything to pray for, watch the news. They'll give you plenty to pray for. We have been set aside. We need to take care of ourselves and use ourselves for that which God has assigned us, for that which he has set us aside for. We need to take care of ourselves, and we need to do what he's called us to do. If we are not in prayer, if we are not houses of prayer, we are misusing the temple. If we do not take care of ourselves, we are desecrating it. We're profaning it. That was going on in the temple when Jesus overturned the tables. What is he doing with your heart today? Amen.
Who can live in your sanctuary? Oh Lord, who can walk on your...
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church, or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
The benediction is the good and final word, and we put that at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. Well, sacrilege isn't really a good word, but forgiveness is. See, what we've done wrong, we can have forgiveness for. We have a new start. And since church is early in the day today, we have more of a day to have this new start after I get done talking finally. What a good day we have ahead of us. A brand new start, no matter what we've done wrong. Well, as this day continues, take care of yourselves. Take care of the house of God. Because he lives right here. Right, Rue? This service is over. Your service must now begin. Go from this place and be blessed. Amen.